Hi, I'm Marion McPartland, and my guest today is one of the greatest musicians in the music world, the incomparable Milt Jackson. Milt, it's just great to have you do piano jazz. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Oh, yes. I'm glad we could finally arrange a time when I was free and could do it.
Well, I'm glad, too, of course, being at the Carlisle. I mean, you're in town for quite a while. So.
Yeah, that's another nice thing to be able to sit down like that for a few weeks. You know, you and I both know, because we can go back that far to the days when most nightclubs, you were there for like 2, 3, 4 week engagements.
I know.
Which was quite nice.
And I know it.
As the years went by, that all changed sort of drastically.
Remember years ago, I was at the Hickory House and...
Right. That's right. I remember when you played there because I worked on the street a lot then, too.
I know you did. I think that's where I first heard you, you know, when I came to New York from Chicago. And all those places were still going, like the Downbeat.
Right.
Remember that little
club? Spotlight? Oh, of course. I think Three Deuces.
The Three Deuces.
Well, one of the first places I heard Coleman Hawkins. You know, people like, oh, man, it was really just amazing. You know, my first visit to 52nd Street.
Yeah.
From uptown, you know, because when I first came to New York, I stayed with Dizzy and his wife.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, Dizzy then gave you your first, was that your first job?
Well, my first real professional job, you know, other than gigs around Detroit. In other words, my first introduction into what we would now call the big time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you've just, I mean, literally when you came to New York, you really started out in the big time. I mean, it seems as if you've been in the big time ever since I've known you.
Well, I guess when I first came, I was kind of lucky because I kind of got in on the ground floor of the bebop movement. You know, it had really just started, I guess, about 1941 that it goes back to. And I came to New York in 45.
Well, did you start out on piano and then switch to vibes?
No. I started out with guitar. That was actually my first instrument.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm moving the guitar to the piano, from the piano to the drums. Then from the drums to the violin for a moment, the bass violin for a very, very hot minute.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm dying to hear you play. I'd like to hear you play any one of those instruments, but since we have the piano here,
all right,
we'll just have you play piano.
Okay.
Will you do something?
All right.
Great. All right. Now, this is going to be a tune that you wrote for someone I love.
Right, right.
I've heard that on a record. It's a beautiful song.
Right.
Okay. Actually, when did you start with the Modern Jazz Quartet?
In 52. In fact, next year, they're going to have a big, I was told that they're planning a big celebration, 40 years.
40 years.
And the same personnel who will have existed for 38 of the 40 years.
It's funny, they always say jazz musicians can't keep a steady job. It's amazing when you think
yes.
of that. It's a real testimony, testimonial. That's the word I'm trying to say to all you guys, and I mean to be together for 38 years.
Yeah, it's quite a thing.
Well, how did that group start? Was it all of you, or was it John?
Well, it was really three of the four, myself, John, and Ray along with Kitty Clark, who was the first member, original member of the quartet.
We were all
in Dizzy's band together.
Was Ray Brown in it at first?
No, he's not in the Modern Jazz Quartet. No, he never became a member. As a matter of fact, when we got ready to really form the quartet as such, Ray wasn't available because, you know, he was working with Ella.
Of course,
and
yeah,
we could, right. We just couldn't get him. We couldn't, get him, so we got Percy. And that's really how the group was formed.
It's funny, one thing I've never been able to figure out, because you're such a sort of a free, to me, a very free kind of player, and you've managed to stay within the framework, like of all of John's things. They're all very carefully thought out, and I mean, it's amazing how you've achieved
that. Well, I sort of look upon that as a project, and once I felt I understood what John wanted to do, and once we, you know, he became the musical director, because the group was incorporated, of course, you know, not really a leader. But as the musical director, he does guide the way that the music that we play or what we play. And so I just try to follow that. So it's really more or less his personality that's indoctrinated into the way the quartet plays. However, as you know, when I play on my own, like I did a few weeks ago with Monty, it's really my own personality, of course, because I determine what we play or what we don't play and how we play it. It's as simple as that.
Well, you know, it would be fun if we could do a number together, if you play something on the vibes and I'll play a little accompaniment.
Sure, why not?
Can we do that?
Sure.
All right, how about some a Duke Ellington?
Can't go wrong with Duke Ellington.
I know it. In a sentimental mood, how about that?
Okay.
All right. To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Save America's Treasures, a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Parks Service, Department of the Interior, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.